This is KCUR 89.3. When you hear about Quindaro Boulevard, you may think of the Underground Railroad site that's part of the Civil War era ruins, or television news accounts of violence and crime. But residents of neighborhoods surrounding it tell a different story. KCUR's Laura Ziegler has this history of Quindaro Boulevard, as told by people who grew up there.
I met up recently with Edith Turnipseed and Vita Monday just off Quindaro Boulevard. It's where their childhood house once stood. Edith is 75, and she's wearing a bright yellow blouse and yellow sunglasses to match it. And her baby sister, Vita, is 71, and she's wearing a bright yellow t-shirt and her hair in a ponytail. When we're there talking about growing up there, they're looking across Quindaro Boulevard, looking east at what are now mostly vacant buildings along the street. And they're trying to remember what was there when they were living here in the 1950s and 1960s.
What was next door to Miss Hewlett? The alleyway. And then Mr. Moore's.
Sure was.
Mr. Moore's store. Mr. Moore's was a liquor store. And next to that was a neighborhood grocery store. The owners were Caucasian.
The two of them kind of quibble about which stores were where, but they both remember that as black girls, they didn't leave the black community, which meant they really didn't go west of 7th or 8th Street on Quindaro. But they also agree that things were changing at that time. Black people were starting to own businesses, like the one that moved into the grocery store next to Mr. Moore's liquor store.
And it ultimately became a seafood grotto, which was owned and operated by an African-American man. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
That an African-American man got this prime spot right there on the corner.
Then Edith turns around and looks at the house behind us that was next door to theirs while they were growing up.
You know what? Now, this family was white. Yeah, and they had a She had a granddaughter, I guess, Jerry Lou, and we played all the time. I don't think I ever went in that house. I don't think Jerry Lou ever went inside our house.
It never even occurred to Edith and Vita that any of this was really out of the ordinary. A few blocks east, down Quindaro, is the corner of 5th Street and Quindaro.
This at one time was Kirk's drugstore. He was a pharmacist. And right next to this was the Hub bookstore. Yes,
it was the hub of the Northeast area. That's James and Dorothy McField, and they co-owned the shop from 1968 to 1975. Dorothy McField says, she knew there were shops that she couldn't go into, and there were theaters where she couldn't sit. But for Dorothy and for James, they didn't really mind.
I've never felt segregated. I never have. We had everything we needed.
There were restaurants and theaters, there were grocery stores and salons.
Growing up, we had Northeast Junior High School up here. I went to Keeling Elementary School. That was right around 4th Street over here.
But there were schools that you couldn't go to.
Didn't want to.
About that school integration and the fair housing and public accommodations laws, laws designed to fix historic injustices, the McFields lament some of the negative ways they affected the black community along Quindaro Boulevard.
It was a fantastic area. It had all kinds of businesses that we could participate in without worrying about whether people wanted us or not. Glad that they were there and sorry that the thing that people thought was so positive, called integration, really created a desolation of businesses in this area.
So now I'm on the corner of 9th and Quindaro. On the west side of the street is firehouse number 5. It was one of two black fire stations in the Quindaro neighborhood. And it is also the corner where Robert Hughes Sr. had the Mid-Central Mortgage Company, which was very important in helping this black community get home loans and financing. He says his dad started the mortgage lending company because there were federal and real estate industry policies that made it almost impossible for black people to get loans and insurance.
And with that, they were able to make Fannie Mae approve loans so those loans could be portfolioed and sold off into the secondary market and bring funds back into the mortgage company who could make some more loans.
But Mid-Central didn't have the financial capacity of white-owned banks. Discriminatory policies deprived black communities of credit and insurance, blockbusting caused white flight by spreading fear about neighborhood integration. Businesses, white and black, left and drained communities of their tax bases and jobs. Crime increased, exacerbated by the crack cocaine epidemic that afflicted black neighborhoods disproportionately in the 1980s. Hughes says all this set Quindaro Boulevard at a disadvantage for decades.
I don't have an asset base. I don't have the same opportunity from the start. Now I'm trying to catch up. I'll never catch up. I mean, that's running a race and you start, you know, 100 yards ahead of me. Every time I get to where you were, you're not there anymore.
But Hughes believes there's an interest in reviving the area.
Come on, Hyde. Are you in?
Today, Mr. B's Barbershop at 18th and Quindaro hums with activity on Saturday mornings, and its owner, Bernard Crawford, recalls similar vitality while he was growing up on the boulevard in the 70s.
I mean, I remember walking to the bakery down on Quindaro, and many different stores were down here, and even grocery stores.
He doesn't live here anymore, but he says he came back and intentionally opened his business here, and he wants to be what he calls a light on Quindaro to offset an inaccurate perception.
The stigma from the violence, the negativity that we have seen portrayed on our news channels, sure you have your elements that come in and that, you know, pollute Quindaro, but overall, it's a lot of good people here.
About a block or so west is Wilson's Pizza.
Thank you. How your mama doing?
Gary Wilson's family grew up on Quindaro also. His dad had a pizza shop and was also a firefighter in one of the two segregated firehouses in the community. Wilson took over the shop in 1980.
You make that?
Oh, yeah. All made in home.
As one of the thriving businesses here, he sees himself as an anchor for the neighborhood.
One thing about Wilson's Pizza, people know that they could come to me. They know I'm going to be here to help them if I can help them. I'm not just a pizza place. I'm a counselor. I'm a preacher. It's more than just doing business in an environment like this.
About this environment and its history, people see it through the lens of their own experiences, and obviously they're not all the same. But there is agreement that restoring vitality to Quindaro Boulevard will require outside resources, but also a belief that a thriving community there is possible again. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Laura Ziegler.
This story kicks off a week-long series about Quindaro Boulevard, its past, its present, and its future. KCUR 89.3 has spent months reporting for this next installment of our Here to Listen community engagement project. Tune in Wednesday to KCUR Central Standard for a documentary about Quindaro. You'll find more information and photos at kcur.org/Quindaro.